The James Mitsubishi Sportzilla Show podcast is available on ESPNSyracuse.com and ESPNUR.com.
This is good for us. This is very good for us.
Plus iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, TuneIn and SoundCloud, or find it at ESPN Sportzilla on Facebook and Twitter.
People are complaining.
Too bad!
You know, they want to know if you guys can maybe just do it right.
No!
All right.
It's the Sportzilla Show with Rain and Matt on twitch.tv/QSportsTalk and ESPN Radio.
All that podcast talk, it's also on demand on Twitch. QSportsTalk, get there, get a subscription. You've got an Amazon Prime account, you get one free. Why not us, right? You want to watch Orange Nation, you only joined it in the middle of it, it's on demand. There will be no On the Block with Brent Axe today, so you've got us. Us being me, I'm Rain, and the glue guy, Matt Page. We will be back in tonight, by the way, at 6 o'clock, right at 6 o'clock, on time with no axe delay today. Yes, that is an ongoing joke. Yeah, right at 6 o'clock, Yankees on deck. Go figure.
How about that?
So far, so good, right? They brought the broom out against Toronto, and now they've got the Oakland A's, who are actually red hot. Nobody knows anybody that's on that team, yet somehow, someway, Billy Bean, with Moneyball, he started this whole analytics thing that we live in today. Because of him, they're generally always a good team. And then as soon as they make a little bit of money, it's usually like the second year of their arbitration eligible, they trade him before free agency and they go elsewhere. That happens quite a bit. How are you today, sir? It's a Friday.
I'm good. As you just said, the Yankees are going sweeping. I didn't believe it. I didn't expect it.
Yeah, you got everybody. We all picked against them in the Yankees on deck last night. Nick Ailes was in with us. And the reverse psychology, which we joked about, actually worked. We'll see what happens. Got some bats. You got some defense. You got a crazy triple play. A lot of stuff to get to today. Chris Carlson, Mike Curtis, Michael Lear, and Tommy Hogan paired together in a three-way call. And later on at 3:30, Jack Perrin from Last Word on Sports. That's our Accelerate Sports Complex phone line being open and the guest that will be on it today. It is Juneteenth. That is now a holiday, which is, we're not going to make this political, but this is a good thing. It's actually a good thing. It's a very good thing. Rest in peace also to Billy Fusillo. Say it with me, glue guy. Let's back off these microphones a little bit.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
You ready? You know what we're doing?
I do. I do.
Three.
Okay.
Two.
Yeah.
One.
Huge.
Yeah, huge.
Had to do it.
Listen, Billy Fusillo, and you will see this from members of the media, whether it be Galaxy Media, co-workers of ours between Syracuse and Utica, and any other competing media companies that have ever worked with Billy at any point on any level over the years. I have dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of times. He was a good man. He gave back to this community and, of course, spent time in Florida. He's got dealerships in Los Angeles and
everywhere.
Everywhere he goes, but specifically because he set his roots by going to Syracuse University right here in central New York, he has given back.
Yep.
In numbers that would make you go, damn, I didn't realize. He's done that his entire, I guess, adult life, professional career. He's been ultra successful with car dealerships and whatnot, and he sold off some of them in the Syracuse area. But a fantastic human, and he would give you the shirt off his back. Really a solid, solid guy. Rest in peace, Billy Fusillo. You were definitely huge and larger than life. A legend, if you will. And we wanted to give out and send our condolences to his family, quite obviously. Unexpected news. I know he's been, yes. I guess he's been sick for a little while. Some cryptic details have been released. There are certain things you keep private, and I totally understand that. But we wanted to pay homage to the one and only Billy Fusillo. The landscape in car marketing or it will never be the same. Listen, the dude was groundbreaking.
Very.
Everybody kind of follows his lead in some senses. So I guess he was an innovator in the way that he decided to market his car dealerships, and it worked.
Very polarizing, but you have to say it worked, because if you weren't even paying attention, you would just hear the huge and you're like, yep, that's Billy.
He owns the word huge.
Yes.
If he is ever advertised in an area where you live, like I said, he's got dealerships and had them across the country in different places and different markets. He owns the word huge. But when you step back from that, that's just out in public. That's to sell cars. That's business in reality, IRL, in real life, a fantastic human being that always did for others. Rest in peace, Billy Fusillo. All right, we got that off our chest. I don't want to get verklempt and chop onions. It was kind of some shocking news. It was sad to see it. But it's time to talk a little bit more sports. We've got our guests laid out. Does it matter? ESPN Radio, Matt will ask me questions.
Does it matter? It's the Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt on ESPN Radio and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. Does it matter?
I don't know why, as we get into Father's Day weekend, I feel compelled to do this.
You dare interrupt me during my segment? Come on now.
Yes. I know you're about to ask me a question, but...
You are not the...
I'm sorry. It's Friday, and I couldn't resist Maury Povich when he does paternity on his show. That's still funny to me. It really is.
Have you ever sat down and, like, just binge-watched YouTube clips of the show?
Well,
because it's fun.
You know what's funny?
It's a lot of fun.
What's funny to me is you've got couples out there that try to conceive and they can't. But then you have couples that if they do conceive, okay. And then you have couples that, like, we're trying to conceive. And then, you know, the expectant mother will tell the husband or the boyfriend or the father, I'm pregnant. And they're like, yay! On that show, when they do the paternity test, half the time, the prospective or possible father or fathers are like, yeah, when they find out they're not the father.
Yeah,
or
for sure.
It's
fun.
You're like, damn, I never wanted to kind of play the lottery with that aspect of life.
But. And I love the ones where either the father or the mother, like, run off stage. And you have the camera guy, the poor camera guy, following after them with the 20 pounds of equipment.
I think Maury Povich likes sports, too. Has he ever had any professional athletes on there? I don't know. That wasn't an intentional setup for what I guess is your first question officially of Does It Matter?
Does it matter that Lala is divorcing Carmella?
Yeah, there's all sorts of rumors and crap that you read online, and that is between, in my opinion, Lala. They were going to divorce a few years ago, kind of pulled back on that. We know what we read that's out there. I'm only solely concerned with what Carmelo Anthony has done on the basketball court professionally with Syracuse or the Olympics. Yeah, it matters. That sucks. Divorce is tough, but... I guess they have an amicable relationship because I don't want to turn this into TMZ. So that's happening. As long as Carmelo plays some basketball next year, we'll be good with that. I can tell you one thing that I know. He's a damn good father.
Yes, he is.
He's a damn good father. And that's really what's most important. Their relationship doesn't work out. That's one thing. But he's solid as far as, I think Keon is his son's name, if memory serves. Next question.
Does it matter that the Arizona Diamondbacks have lost 23 straight road losses?
They're terrible, aren't they?
Oh, and by the way, the Orioles have lost 19 as well.
Oh, yeah, that's an ongoing. And Baltimore has lost 19 in a row, meow. And the Syracuse Mets have lost 10 straight. By
Ouch.
The way, you pretty much have the crappiest Triple-A baseball team in Syracuse. But it's still fun. The ballpark looks great. And I'm hoping that gets a little better. Hey, full capacity soon. It's almost summer as well, officially. It's Father's Day.
This Sunday, I believe.
Go to the ballpark. What's your next question?
Does it matter that, for the record, the Pittsburgh Innocents have lost 41 consecutive road games the following year in 1890? Does that matter?
Does it matter that Pittsburgh Innocents, which is a legitimate professional baseball team way back in the 19th century, yet they lost 41? So,
ouch.
So you base the number with the D-backs on... the modern era. That is just a terrible amount of suck. Yeah, it matters. It makes me laugh. I would not want to be on that team. How's the game? We lost.
Yeah, we lost.
How's the game? We lost. How's the game? We lost. How's it? Ah, we suck again. We lost. Next question. Does it matter? ESPN Radio. Would you like me to go old-timey for you?
Don't you have some audio from that?
Would you like me to?
Yeah. You know, we have actual legitimate audio from this game.
You didn't know they broadcast games back in the 1890s?
They did.
I'm gonna prove you wrong. I can prove you wrong right now.
And that's it. The Cincinnati Red Stockings have defeated the Louisville Colonels, who have suffered the longest road losing streak with 24 losses in a row. I can't imagine a team being this bad ever again in baseball history. I also can't imagine doing a radio broadcast of this game in 1889, since Marconi won't even begin broadcasting until 1895. I'll leave you to ponder that until the next time we share Cracker Jack and a hot dog for tomorrow's game. See you then, baseball fans.
okay, we recreated the radio broadcast from back then, but does part of you want to see the Arizona Diamondbacks lose 41 straight on the road? I don't want them to lose 41 straight, but 41 straight on the road, because, hey, maybe you can get a few road wins in there, but I think they've won like six of their last 41 games. It's not good.
Yeah, I would love to see it only because I love teams breaking history for either good reasons or bad reasons, and I think this would be awesome.
Remember when the Cleveland Indians just a year or two ago broke the consecutive wins record?
Yep.
And ultimately flamed out? So it really ultimately doesn't matter that much.
Yeah, but when you're losing by this amount, I think that does matter.
I think it's a little bit of a bad news bears type of a thing, and I'm all for it. I want the D-backs to lose like 15 or 20 more in a row and then finally win one. And then I want the last month, month and a half of the season to be Baltimore then losing enough road games consecutively to break that record. Because I will cheer that on.
Everyone would.
Suck tonight. Lose tonight. Please lose tonight. Just for comedic purposes. Do you have any more questions for me with Does It Matter here on ESPN Radio?
Does it matter that the Yankees scored the weirdest triple play last night?
They got one. It was just, it was a basically...
bad base running.
A routine triple play a few weeks back, and now they're second of the season. They scored it 1-3-6-2-5-6, the first triple play of its kind in the history of baseball. And I'm watching it last night, and I go, I listened to the game a little ways on the way home on the radio. I still do that. But then I get home, I flip on the TV, and I'm watching, and I'm like, did that just happen? You couldn't replicate or duplicate that if you tried. You could see another triple play like the one the Yankees had earlier
just
in the year.
Bad base running, though. What were the Blue Jays thinking last night?
It was just terrible base running. I mean, the earlier triple play, I mean, they got two this year. That's crazy. You don't see it every day. But it was a hard ground ball to Gio, steps on third, and then it's around the horn to second to first. They get the triple play just in the nick of time. This one, they actually looked at it, and turns out it stood, and there you go, 1-3-6-2-5-6, the first triple play of its kind in Major League Baseball history. Oh, and if you're a Bills fan, Josh Allen bounced one in the dirt on his first pitch.
He was
warming up behind the scenes at Salem Field, and Vlad Guerrero came up and gave him some love. But you can't bounce it. You can't be the rifle arm quarterback of the Buffalo Bills and bounce it. I could have done that. You need, at the very least, put a little extra mustard on it and throw it over the catcher's head and hit the backstop. Something like that. That's fine. But he bounced it in the dirt. Still kind of cool to see him out there. And he did it kind of for a philanthropic and good cause. There was a little bit of a donation behind the scenes from what I'm reading with that. So that's awesome. And he's probably going to win 13 or 14 football games this year. And nobody's going to care that he bounced the pitch at Salem Field between the Yankees and the Buffalo Blue Jays. Right now, Buffalo
yes,
Blue Jays?
Yes, Buffalo Blue Jays.
Toronto later, we're Dunedin. What a crazy time we're still living in. It'll all get back to normal soon enough as we get through these seasons. Let's pause right there, take our first break on the Sports Illustrated. What?
I have one last question for you.
Oh, no.
It's the most important one.
Oh, no.
I saved it for last.
Oh, no. You're going to ask about the Celtics?
Yes, I have to.
Okay.
Does it matter that Kemba Walker got traded with a 16th overall pick to the Thunder for former Celtic, Al Horford?
Is Al Horford going to help the Celtics now that much?
No.
I didn't think so either.
This is a terrible trade. I'm not happy about it. And I can't imagine any coach coming into this organization, whoever that might be, is exactly happy about that either.
OKC is discombobulated right now. The Celtics are discombobulated right now. Both organizations have a lot to do. But here's the thing with Kemba Walker. It didn't work.
No, and he's injury prone now.
It didn't work in Boston. Absolutely right. It's not going to be the same Kemba Walker ever again. Good luck in OKC.
I was reading an article earlier. He missed 15 games all throughout his Charlotte days. He missed 16 just this season alone.
I think ultimately you'll get more out of Al Horford a little bit to help the Celtics than you would have gotten out of Kemba Walker. They needed to wipe him off the books and reassess that position on the roster.
But if you're a potential coach, aren't you going, hey, isn't that my point guard you just shipped out of town?
Yeah, but
hey, you just got rid of a good first-round pick as well. What's up with that?
Yeah, that was interesting to say the least. I don't know what the plan is. I guess Brad Stevens, he's got to have something long-term and in big picture in mind.
Must be.
In what he wants to do. Sorry for your Celtics.
Meh.
I'm lying. I'm not sorry for your Celtics. I'm glad they're in disarray. They're in more disarray. So is OKC than the Knicks are right now. Think about that statement, and you have to deal with that.
Okay. I just won't look at you the rest of the show.
That's got to suck, man. I'm disgusted
right now.
Any team out there that you can point at and go, the Knicks are in a better position, and I'm a Knicks fan. This is ESPN Radio, right back with Chris Carlson from Syracuse.com.
The Sports Zilla Show.
Hello, son. I'm looking for Henry Ruhlenfurter.
Ravenboozer.
Hey, better. Hey, better.
Rosenbagger.
Swing, better.
Warm up. You're going in. Garden hoser.
Ruhlengruder. I never doubted him for a minute.
Hey, way to go, Runamucker.
Bringing Central New York sports fans together.
Ron Gardner, you're going in.
What do you call me?
It's the Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt on twitch.tv/QSportsTalk and ESPN Radio.
We're going to go back-to-back and belly-to-belly with two of our favorites from Syracuse.com. There was the John Wildhack press conference a couple days back. We've obviously covered that. Everybody has. Orange Nation has. Brent Axe has. We've shared some audio in our sound check segments. Well, we've dissected it, pretty much gone through every question asked from every reporter and the very measured answers of John Wildhack. Two of those questions were asked by the man on the phone to get us started. Accelerate Sports Complex phone line is open for Chris Carlson. You asked about revenue and you asked about transfers from the women's team. There's a lot of programs that lost a lot of players. We're just in a different time now, and what COVID has done to this and eligibility. I mean, there's 50 ways we can go with this, Chris. You know this, but nobody had more than Syracuse. So let's start with that question, his answer, and what you thought about what he said, or maybe you're looking at it from a different perspective.
Yeah, I think we're all curious, kind of what happened with the women's basketball team this year for the reason you guys mentioned, right? It seemed like a pretty talented team, had a pretty good season, and yet they had more players leave than anybody. And while we're in a period of time where we understand players are going to go, Camilla Cardoso wasn't really a playing time question, right? And she decided to leave. Emily Engsler, maybe she didn't like her role coming off the bench, but if Syracuse is going to win a national title, those are the type of players that need to remain on campus. I think we're all curious what happened this year and if it was something problematic. John Wildhack is probably not someone who's going to tell us, even if he thought that was the case. But his answer is, he backed Q. He backed Quentin Hillsman. He said he's confident in kind of the standards, the behavioral standards that the program holds players to. He noted, as you guys did, that, right, we are in a time where a certain number of transfers are to be expected, and we can't view that as a sign that there's anything wrong anymore. That's just sort of business. So if something kind of went a little sour this year and forced some valuable players to leave, John certainly indicated that he didn't think it was something that was going to continue, right? It was a one-year blip more than kind of an issue that's going to remain a problem for Syracuse, based on his answer. And, we'll see over the next kind of couple of years, obviously, Syracuse can get back into that top 25, whether they can go a little bit deeper in the tournament. It's been a while since they've had a nice run. So we'll see what Quentin Hillsman's program can do.
We haven't heard a lot publicly. They haven't been very forthcoming with the details, maybe on a case-by-case, an individual basis, player by player. But one thing that I did note when you read between the lines is, he referenced, to your point, there were a lot of conversations between Coach Quentin Hillsman and John Wildhack. So they got to the bottom of everything, and I'm sure it was player by player and exit interviews and reasons and all of that was discussed. And we don't know what was happening with some of these girls. Maybe it was issues with the girls on the team more so than Coach Q, because he does have, an equity built up within the program after all of these years. So you have to weigh that against what a player that's maybe been here for a year or 6 months is saying, Chris. So, yeah, all systems go for the women's team. Let's talk about the revenue question that you had answered. Obviously, with no NCAA tournament, no ACC tournament, revenue was down roughly $10 million. Unpack that answer to your question for us.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I try to do each year is these federal forms come out and they have athletic department revenues. You know, I think it's important to keep talking about it, keep reminding people that this is big business, especially as we have conversations about NIL and the appropriate way that athletes should be compensated moving forward. You know, I think it's important to remind people that the Syracuse athletic department is a, you know, multi, you know, million-dollar business, and that's just how it is. Obviously, the coronavirus took a chunk out of that business over the course of the past year. Just the ACC and NCAA tournament alone, you know, Syracuse brought in $100 million when everything was going right. It was down to $86 million without that event. Obviously, next year when those numbers come out, you know, we're going to have to factor in a football season without fans in the stands, a basketball season without fans in the stands, but they were able to play some of the you know, the TV stuff. You know, they were able to play the TV schedule. And at this point, TV is a bigger revenue driver than ticket sales. So we'll see how that number looks. You know, I think the big takeaway is obviously, you know, business took a hit with the pandemic, but I didn't get a sense of panic, you know, from Syracuse and John Wildhack. It seemed like everything was sort of under control, and they're not going to have to make, you know, deep, painful cuts anymore, at least. You know, they feel like they've kind of navigated through the pandemic for the most part. They are going to be a little cautious, kind of cranking that spending up again, because we don't yet have fans in the stands for football. We're talking about the Delta variant. You know, who knows if things go south? But it certainly seems like Syracuse has kind of gotten itself through the pandemic in pretty good financial shape.
Dave Petromalo was officially named a Gary Gage staff, and he had a press conference yesterday. I was wondering what your takeaways were from said presser.
Yeah, you know, I think the yin and the yang of Gary Gage and Dave Petromalo is going to be pretty fun, right? Especially if they're both talked to the media. Gary Gage is right, and you can almost see why they're good at what they do. Mm-hmm. Gary is smooth and composed and, you know, very measured, sort of like you want an offensive player to be with the ball, you know, just cool and calm and under control. And Petromalo is fiery and intense.
Yeah.
And you can hear that from him, and that's how you want your defensive players to be, right? It's almost like both men have just the natural mindset for the positions they're sort of coaching and the positions they sort of played. You know, I don't know Dave all that well, but just listening to that press conference, you could kind of tell.
So the question was asked about his sons, Nick and Dom, who are committed to UNC. The question is, do they flip and do they go to SU? Could you imagine if that happens? I mean, they've got their signed letter of intent, but things change. You think it happens? You think it doesn't happen? He gave a very obvious answer. I think the answer was exactly, he chose the exact words that we would have thought when answering that question. But what do you make of it? Do you think that are you saying there's a chance that they come here and join Joey Spolina? I mean, could you imagine that class coming in?
You know, I mean, we've seen how for so many families, children playing for their fathers means the world, right? Buddy and Jim and now Jimmy and how much they've enjoyed it and how much it's kind of meant to their family to have that experience. You know, so if you – everybody's different, and some kids, right? Well, some kids want to have an experience away from dad, and it's very individual. But if you made me bet on what I think is going to happen, I just think playing for dad is a pretty irresistible choice.
Jason Anthony jumped into our Twitch chat at Q Sports Talk. Read that question to him, Glue.
So he says they should have given Desco a farewell tour and let Gary Gate have a chance at winning one as a women's coach and then make the switch. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, he had 14 years, right, Chris?
Who's that? Gary?
Yeah. Didn't have Gary have 14 years to win one with the women's team?
Yeah, you know, I just, you know, you wish that maybe John could have gone out on a higher note. You know, I sort of get that. But I don't know. College sports are a weird business where you can't always script everything. And, you know, if Desco and Wildhack kind of came out of those conversations and thought now is the time, you know, I don't know enough about those conversations to say, hey, that was the wrong choice. Right. You know, and to be honest, like, I don't know. Right. We talk about how Roy Williams and Mike Krzyzewski have done retirements differently. Right. Roy Williams just, you know, hung it up. He's not doing the farewell tour. Mike Krzyzewski wants the farewell tour. I don't know John Desco well enough to know what he would have liked for his final season. But he's never been a guy that's like loved the spotlight and really like craved sort of that attention. So, you know, would John Desco have even wanted like a farewell tour where everybody knows this is his last season? You know, I don't know. I don't know if that's even something that he would have thought that's for me.
This is Chris Carlson with Syracuse.com here on ESPN Radio. It's the Sportszilla Show. I have one more question. We were going to ask you a little bit about TBT and Boeheim's Army, but we've got time to do that, and I'm sure we'll have you on plenty of times before that. Matt and I will discuss in a few minutes. Wanted to leave you with one final question. Athlon report on the low expectations. I'm sure you've read it by now, Chris, for the SU football team, and I just wanted to know, are you optimistic that those expectations can be exceeded, especially after reading the words, of course, from an anonymous coach. I love that. An anonymous coach. Wouldn't put his name on it, but he said it. Is there truth to it, or how do you feel?
You know, I certainly think that when I read those things, I certainly trust that a reporter is having a conversation with an assistant coach from another program, and someone thinks these things, and it's one who knows football, right? I don't think any reporter is simply making it up. However, you know, Dino Babers' approach to football is very different than Steve Adazio's approach to football was, and they probably think very different things about each other's styles. And if you granted them anonymity, they'd probably say very different things about each other's styles. Does that mean, you know, it's impossible for either one to win? Of course not. You know, it's very easy to look at how Syracuse has performed lately and have very negative opinions. It's very hard to think that this is going to be a great season.
True.
Given the trajectory the football program has been on. But it is a season where, right, depth has been an issue. Well, Syracuse should have more depth than it has had previously. Offensive line depth has been an issue. There are certainly deeper and more experienced on the offensive line than they have been the past couple seasons. So I have hope that those expectations are wrong. But I'm also not going to tell you that people are idiots for thinking them, because, you know, that's sort of what your eyes are telling you.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Chris, have a great Father's Day weekend. I appreciate the time. Always great to talk to you. You ask great questions. I wanted to tell you that. We told you off the air. I want to tell you that on the air. You do a great job. And everybody's looking forward to hearing from you today. So I wanted to send you into your weekend with a smile and some positivity. How's that?
Thanks so much, guys. Enjoy hopefully good weather.
And that guarantees Chris Carlson will come back on with us the next time we ask. We really appreciate you, man. Have a great weekend. This is ESPN Radio and the Sportszilla Show. We're going to talk to his colleague, Mike Curtis, next.
The Sportszilla Show from 2 to 4.
Against Boeheim in the lane.
Oh, what a block. Again by Griffin. What a block by Alan Griffin. He saved the game at both ends of the floor.
It's time for Rain and Matt.
Are you going to change because of one game?
No, I'm not. I'm just.
Well, let me explain this to you. We've got three guards, and we're going to use all three. All right? Got it? You guys want to coach, go get a high school. Go get a team somewhere and coach. All right?
It's the Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt on twitch.tv/QSportsTalk and ESPN Radio.
I'd like to pour out my appreciation for Red Rob in our Twitch chat for instigating. Fellow Knicks fan, let's pour it on those Celtics. No, we'll refuse. We'll hold off.
You won't. Come on.
We'll get to some NBA. I'll say it. Mike Curtis will be a little bit more diplomatic, I have a feeling. He's with Syracuse.com. We're happy to get him back on the Sportszilla Show. Love talking to you, Mike. Just had your colleague Chris Carlson on. A couple of the questions might be similar, but I'm sure your answers will be a little bit different. With the Wild Hack press conference and, of course, your coverage of the SU women's team, we've talked to you about that quite a bit. And having the highest number of players enter the transfer portal, but then slowly but surely over the past few weeks, building that roster back up. And it seems like they've added their final transfer, and that was Alaysia Stiles out of Maryland. I want you to start there and then tell us the latest that you're aware of and what you know about the status of Quentin Hillsman's team.
Yeah, for sure. I think Wild Hack's press conference was definitely interesting, but not surprising, I'll say, in regards to the women's team. I think it was very important for him to back Quentin Hillsman 100%. Because when you have 12 transfers, people automatically look to the coach.
Yeah.
And for his AD to say, hey, I support him, I have his back, I appreciate the standards that he's holding our students to. And he basically mentioned, like, the seniors that left, they fulfilled their obligations and they had every right to do what they wanted to do for their final year. And as for the freshmen, he kind of pointed to if they can't adjust to the Syracuse culture, then kind of so be it. But what stuck out the most was he made a really good point about what happens to the transfers. And this is not for just women's basketball. This is for men's basketball, for football. What happens to those players who don't land at another school and who don't land at another school to get their education or even play? So I think that was my biggest takeaway from the Wild Hack press conference.
And don't forget, there's a decent recruiting class coming in as well, and three players did remain. I think we've seen enough from Quentin Hillsman that this is going to be a pretty decent team. He'll find a way to get it done. Are we going to win a national championship every year? Of course not. But a good team is a good team, and we'll root for them regardless. Let's move on, though. Keeping it in the Orange family, especially with basketball, TBT's roster was announced. We know that there's still a couple of more, from what we're hearing, pretty big names to be announced. Elite as far as TBT is concerned.
And not Syracuse alumni either.
Yeah, we're looking forward to July. Yeah. You remember how great it was to see some basketball during the pandemic a year ago. Now it's expanded back out to the full field. The money's out there. Adam Weitzman's part of this. I think it's going to make it an even better experience for the players. Devo is leading the charge again. Oh, what are your thoughts about TBT? I know you're hyped too.
Yeah, for sure. Anytime you can get basketball in the summertime when everything's pretty much dying down and all you got to watch is baseball, is incredible. but I think this year's version of Boeheim's Army is going to be stacked and probably its biggest yet, especially with the addition of Adam Weitzman. You know, whatever he puts his name on, he gets a lot of attention. But as far as the roster goes, yeah, I'm hearing the same thing as far as the big names that are going to be announced. Obviously, we can't say anything yet, but I think the roster right now, as it stands, you got Devendorf, Malachi Richardson, Tyler Lydon, Chris McCullough was announced recently, CJ Fair. I think all of those guys, and Pascal Chukwu, I think all of those guys are going to play their hardest and play from a competitive standpoint to put Boeheim's Army in the best position to win for the first time.
And we wanted to get your thoughts on James Harden being annoyed by Giannis's free throw routine and just how fed up he looked watching him do it every single time.
It was hilarious. It was hilarious. Giannis takes, I want to say, the limit is probably 10 seconds. I remember they had the shot clock on him as he was shooting for a brief stint of the time during the playoffs. And it's just ridiculous. I don't think anybody should take that long with their free throws. And it seems like every time they call the lane violation, his free throws go in. So I'm not sure what's up with that.
He takes every millisecond of the 10 seconds.
And some.
He's like on the backside of the 10th second when he's releasing the ball. And at this point, I would keep doing it just to get under their skin. I mean, I don't know if it's a major distraction, but it is funny.
Yeah.
And any form of gamesmanship can definitely help. But game seven tomorrow in this series, it looked like after the first couple of games, it was going to be a blowout, maybe even a sweep for the Nets. But the Bucks have answered, and now we're tied up. I mean, is there anything better than a game seven?
Not at all. Those are two best words in sports. I'm hoping that we get three game sevens this weekend, honestly.
Yeah, you could see it.
But tomorrow's game seven between the Bucks and the Nets. Sorry, the Bucks and the Nets. I think it's going to come down to KD versus Giannis. It's going to depend on how the Bucks defend KD and if Giannis is going to step up to the plate and guard him for the entirety of the game.
Should he?
I mean, we saw it.
Should he?
That's a good question.
Should he at the expense of having enough left in the tank offensively? Go ahead.
Yeah, that's a good question. I tweeted that yesterday. I think it was the first quarter. He might have matched up against them once or twice, but then he got switched off. And I said the only reason I see he's not guarding him is so he can conserve energy and do it when it really counts later on in the game. So I think that is a pretty good strategy when they're up. But if KD is just giving it to him early on, Giannis has to step up to the plate and take that challenge. He's the former defensive player of the year. I mean, you're getting embarrassed by not stepping up to that challenge. And if you do get embarrassed, at least you can say you tried.
If you want to be viewed in the same realm as KD, where we remember the kerfuffle between KD got mad when being compared to Giannis. If you want to be in that and right. KD doesn't get mad, well, you know what you got to do? You got to play the complete game, and you've got to answer that. You've got to shut him down, and you've got to be the one that puts the ball in the basket and leads your team to win this and move on in this series. But PG as well, talking about Paul George with Kawhi being out, maybe an ACL. We're still trying to figure that out. Looking at this Jazz Clippers series, and maybe potentially this goes seven as well. We'll find out. But he has so far answered the call, right? He had a big game.
In one game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you didn't see 50. Yeah. You didn't basically see 50 out of KD either. You can't expect that every game, so you need everybody else to step up. But what do you see happening with the Jazz and the Clippers?
Ooh, that's a good question. It's going to be very interesting because Donovan Mitchell is obviously not 100%. They might get Mike Conley in the rotation tonight. And who knows where else they're going to get their offense. I know Joe Ingles has been playing pretty well. But as far as the Clippers go, I mean, losing Kawhi was big. Losing him to an ACL injury is even worse. But the way Paul George stepped in and pretty much gave his best game of the season, that's all you can ask for. And I think the Clippers want that on a more consistent basis. They want the guy that was in Indiana going toe-to-toe with the Miami Heat against LeBron, Wade, and Bosh. And I think if he can put together another game like that, then they'll win and this series will be over. But if he can't, then we're probably looking at a game seven.
So I got to ask you about Kemba Walker and the Celtics trade, moving from Boston, moving over to Oklahoma City for Al Horford, and the Celtics are giving up the 16th overall pick as well. Mike, I don't understand this trade.
I don't either. I'm not sure what. I don't know if Brad Stevens made this call as his first move, but this was pretty interesting. I know they wanted to part ways with Kemba Walker, and it seems like sending him to OKC is like a death sentence. So I'm not sure how long he'll be there, if he'll even be there for the start of next season. And it seems like Al Horford really wanted to come back to Boston.
Yep.
So that might do something for the team chemistry-wise. But is he the player he once was? No. I think they're going to need another piece. Somehow they're going to need another point guard. I'm not sure who's going to play that role for him.
Yeah, that's the thing with Kemba Walker.
Do they re-sign Isaiah Thomas?
He is. That's not an upgrade.
Are we setting up for another reunion?
Yeah. Why not? Let's do it.
Who else? Oh, man. No, I don't think that's what's going to happen. But we're going to pause right there. Mike, have a great Father's Day weekend, man. We appreciate the time, as always. We'll catch up with you again real soon, okay? Thanks for talking to us.
Yeah, I'll take care. Thanks for having me.
Mike Curtis from Syracuse.com, Sports Illustrated Show, ESPN Radio. You're killing me, Smalls, is next. Let's see what's going up.
The Sportszilla Show.
Oh, yeah?
Bringing the Central New York sports fan together.
You're supposed to wear your mask all over your nose?
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
Can everyone hear me okay? Everyone listen up?
You're killing me, Smalls. It's The Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt on twitch.tv/QSportsTalk and ESPN Radio.
Oh, for Pete's sake, here we go again.
Welcome back to Comets Insider with my co-host. Oh, wait a minute. No, that's done. But he is a radio voice for the Utica Comets. And, of course, a Syracuse alum, another Syracuse alum, and a man behind the scenes. There's no on the block today, so we've got Tommy Gunn. He just calls you Tommy Gunn, right?
Yeah.
I called you Tommy Gunn Hogan, brother. I added a mouthful to it. Why don't you introduce this guy? Because he's got a bunch of nicknames, too. They're going to hijack our You're Killing Me Small segment, even though
I like it.
We technically weren't bringing him in until the next segment, but they're down in the Ute today. So out of our other Sportszilla Show studios or the other ESPN radio studios, we've got Tommy and Michael. Give him his proper introduction, Tommy.
This is the Ranchetier, the voice of the Comets. He's doing all right today, I think. I don't know, though. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm doing all right. That was brutal. I thought that was way funnier.
It was sick.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, come on, Tommy. You can do better.
You're killing me, Smalls.
We got. Yeah, you're killing me, Smalls. There you go. There's a segment. We're done. Here, let me just.
My favorite movie of all time.
Let me just fire that. And
you're killing me, Smalls.
It's all over. Go to break. We'll come back and get their picks.
I'm good with it.
No, so they're going to give us some picks in our next segment. But since they're in here early, one of the things we wanted to talk about, guys, was all these NBA coaching vacancies. Is it COVID? What's the reason for this? Everybody, I mean, you get a job. You can be an NBA head coach. Are we going to go with Becky Hammon, for example? Are we going to see the first female head coach in the NBA? Why are there so many of them? What is going on with the game? Why did Stan Van Gundy get fired? Because Zion Williamson's family is like, hey, we don't like him playing there. Do we have any thoughts on this?
I think we see coaching turnover every offseason. I mean, there are some good jobs out there. Maybe some good jobs that you don't usually see, like the Blazers going to be a really good job. You get Mavericks with Luka, of course.
But Carlisle just jumped out after 13 years. Yeah, there's some issues with ownership down there. Go ahead.
There's some weird things going on in Dallas. There was just an article this week with The Athletic of a professional gambler is basically who's running the franchise now. And Mark Cuban said that was BS. But then you have the GM of 15 years step out and the coach of 13 years step out. So it makes it feel. What do you have,
is
Mike?
Basketball going to become more like baseball where the head coach is kind of a figurehead and everything's just going to be run by analytics? Is it going to be a bunch of Aaron Boones in the NBA pretty soon?
No, it'll just be ran by players. Players are going to run the league.
Are you saying that Aaron Boone's a puppet?
I'm saying that a lot of the Yankees are run by analytics, and there's certain managers in the MLB, and I think it's rightfully so, that a lot of teams are just the guy in the locker room in the clubhouse is just there to keep everybody together and keep everybody on the same page, but analytics are telling them what to do.
I think that you're absolutely right. I think Aaron Boone's a puppet. However, for the past three games in a row, he has made the right move as far as who he has selected as a pinch hitter who has done some damage, but then again, that was probably also spit out by the computer nerds and the analytics.
No, I'll give him credit. That was an undeserving ricochet shot. Aaron Boone had nothing to do with the NBA coaching search, and all of a sudden we bring him
up.
No,
I'm saying
that
I think that NBA coaches will become similar to baseball managers where they're going to be more about chemistry and more about keeping the guys together, and analytics will tell you who to play, what to do, and how to change things up throughout the game.
So let me ask this. Trailblazers, Mavericks, Wizards, Pacers, Pelicans, Magic, Celtics. Those are the remaining jobs in the NBA. I know which one that Matt would want.
Yeah, I'd want to be the Celtics coach.
But what do you think is the best job available on the table? I mean, right now, you go to the Blazers, you get Damian Lillard. Pass the list over to Michael Lear so
He knows this, so he doesn't need the list.
He can take another look. Which job would you want?
Go ahead, Tommy. What job would you want?
You know what? I think I'd go New Orleans.
Really?
I do. I think the Blazers, I mean, you get Damian Lillard at 31, but there's also some moves that need to be done there. The Pelicans roster is really good with Zion. They got the shooters around it. You got
Lonzo. Zion's overrated, though.
He's not. He's averaging 25 in his second year. He gets to the rim. You don't need to shoot threes when you're just everything is layups like it is with Zion. If you get a good coach in there, and I think they have a really good front office. David Griffin's really good. He built that Cavs team with LeBron, the second stint with LeBron. I think that might be the best job out there.
He's got to build around Zion Williamson if they don't trade him first. Go.
I'll go with Matt and take the Celtics job. I think just being under Brad Stevens would be an interesting way to, as me, you know, first year head coach in the league for myself. I've never really been in that position, so I want to learn from Brad Stevens and figure it out.
I'm going to tell you this right now. All those teams, no matter who they hire, they're going to lose to the Knicks this year because the Knicks are back. Okay. Anybody?
All right.
See myself out now?
I'll take the break.
Nothing.
I got crickets on that one.
We'll take the break.
We'll take a quick break. I don't know if we really aired any grievances there, but I can tell you this. We've got sports picks next. These two are going to go at it. This will probably be hilarious. They're going to take over the segment. Do you have a U.S. Open pick for us, or what did you pick? Three, right?
I've got three already out there we could talk about.
Okay. So you got three official new ones that you're going to give us?
I don't, but I can look at the list and see what we got.
All right. How many do you have prepared for us?
I've got NBA, NHL, MLB.
Okay. So we're good to go. You want me to hit this officially?
Yeah, you got
to
make it official.
All right.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Here we go.
It's not you guys. It's him with his Celtics crap that's killing me. It's ESPN Radio. Right back. Hang on.
What are the odds? This is Odds Makers. It's the Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt on ESPN Radio and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk.
The Friday or Juneteenth edition, hour number two of the Sportszilla Show. We got some friends in studio with us. It's Rain and Matt and, of course, Tommy Hogan, brother. Oh, I left the gun out. My bad. That's Axis thing. I'll just say Tommy Hogan, brother. I've just realized I'm going to self-edit that from now on. Moving forward, we're happy to have you in the studio, bro. And we got Michael Lear in here with us, the professor, or he refers to himself as the chef because he's got some, they've got actually collectively some picks cooking for us. The NHL parlay is still out there, right? So we'll wait on that. What are your official results? Oh, I'm going to start right with that, Matt, because I know you always...
Thank you. Yeah, I have to ask.
You always want to know what his record, his one-loss record is with us.
After a 2-0 record, what was that, Tuesday? Mm-hmm. I'm 12-8-1 with you guys.
That's pretty good.
Let me double-check this, because he's gotten multiple of his own picks
and
wrong.
I tweet him out, and you've corrected me once, and
you're
correct.
Twice now.
Okay.
It's been twice that I've had to correct you. That should not be happening with the V of the C, all right?
Yeah, he's got
the voice of the comments can't be doing
but
that.
But you know what? That's why I put it on Twitter, because... there's a lot going on in this brain, and sometimes I just need people to double-check me.
How do you check it before you put it on Twitter? Have you thought about that?
No,
I
just fired off.
Okay.
Hey, Tommy, have you noticed, too, being that he's the voice of a professional hockey team, he's a little weak on the hockey picks? I mean, I'm just putting that out there for you
to
comment.
I'll admit that. I don't bet on hockey very well, and that's okay. You know what? You got to know your strengths and weaknesses, and maybe there's too much information. Sometimes you can overthink a bet. And I don't bet hockey well, so that's why I have the C1 go-in parlay that's still out there with Vegas and Tampa to win their series.
I wasn't honestly saying that to call you out. I was more just trying to instigate Tommy to come after you a little bit more. Because when you two go at it, it's funny. It's even funnier when, like, we had you on the phone the other day, and Tommy just gets in the chat, and all of your college buddies, and they're feeding us and pumping us information to give you guys the business. That's fair to say, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's get to the picks. Why don't you lead the charge here, Tommy? Let's take Michael through the picks. I want you to be Mike one right now, and let's get his wagers out there for everybody.
We can hold off on his loser picks here. I like the Yankees A's tonight. The over. Yankees.
Oh, he's betting on the Yankees. Wow.
The over.
Oh, okay, sorry. I thought you said like the Yankees.
You got to double check things.
I thought you said I like the Yankees A's.
I know you have to double check things. I'm taking the over in that game, all right? Over 9.5. Jameson Taillon has not been very good lately. Only got one out in his previous start. And James Kaprielian, let's not forget, I know you don't know this, Mike, he was traded for Sonny Gray a couple years ago. The Yankees traded James Kaprielian to the A's for Sonny Gray. So it's a little bit of a revenge game for the Yankees or for James Kaprielian. I haven't been able to figure that out yet. But I think the Yankees, the bats have gotten going. Taillon is not pitching very well. I like the over 9.5 in that game.
So we'll throw John Sterling on. We're on the golf course.
There we go. See?
And anytime we talk about the Yankees on ESPN Radio, that is brought to you by William Matar, hurt in a car. Call William Matar, Susan, 444-4444. And?
My baseball pick is the Astros money line against the White Sox. The Astros have been close to automatic against left-handed pitchers. I know it's Carlos Rodon, and he's really, really great, but give me the Astros as an underdog at home against the lefty. I couldn't not bet that. I mean, I think that getting them at right now, it's -110, but they're actually the underdog in that game. I think I'll take that any day.
Michael Lear and Tommy Hogan, brother, here with us on the Sports Hill Show on ESPN Radio. Tommy, take it away. Next pick.
All right, we'll move on to the NBA here. I like both games. I like a pick in both games, and I like the underdog in both games. I like the Hawks to ride the momentum of back-to-back comebacks in the second half, ridiculous collapses by the Sixers. I like them to win the series tonight.
So you close this? Wait, you close this out tonight? No game seven in that series. Okay,
no game seven. That's cool. Atlanta to continue.
Continue.
That they're plus three, so I like that. If you want to go money line, if you want those 3 points, fine. I like the Hawks to win outright tonight. So either way, I'm good with. And then Jazz Clippers. Clippers are plus 2.5. I like that. Mike Conley, I know, is questionable for tonight. Donovan Mitchell is also questionable for tonight.
Correct.
I know Kawhi's out. Paul George, though, is coming off a big game in game five.
But can he do it more than once? That's the big question.
It is. Playoff P. I mean, can he actually earn that nickname? I think he does tonight. I think the Clippers win that series tonight.
Okay, and Michael?
So I do this thing called sticking to what I say. I do this thing called, you know, having integrity, and you Tommy sure do. Clearly doesn't. So
what do you mean?
Our show that we did, whatever it was, right before the NBA playoffs started, I picked the Hawks to beat the Knicks. And I kept talking about how good the Hawks were and that they're my guys just to beat the Knicks. That was my one thing. I said, they're going to beat the Knicks.
You did say that.
Tommy laughed me out of the room. We see who was right on that one.
Yeah.
Another thing that I said on that show is I said the Sixers would win the East. And because I'm a man of integrity, because I'm a guy that sticks to my guns, I got to ride with my guys, the Sixers. So I'm taking the Sixers to win that game tonight because I have to go with what I said a month ago. And albeit there's some things have changed and it's going to be a little bit tougher than we originally thought. Mm-hmm. But with the banged up Nets, I'm still going to kind of ride through with the Sixers. So I'll take the Sixers money line straight up against you tonight.
Don't you care about the people that are listening, trying to win money? You want to, you're going to lose them double the money now just because you're going off of what you said to 3 weeks ago.
Integrity. I have integrity in my picks, and I have to. I can't bet against a team that I've already bet on. What am I doing at that point?
So we're being asked in the Twitch chat right now.
Uh-oh.
Mike, can you name six players in the Yankees lineup?
Six players in the Yankees lineup tonight?
Yes.
This
well,
is young,
just in general.
Young Wolf of Who.
Uh-huh.
Okay, interesting.
Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Gleyber Torres.
Oh, not going to be in the lineup. He's hurt. He's already wrong.
All right, I'm wrong. There you
That's
go.
Tough. That's tough. That was bad. He couldn't get three in, Rain.
He couldn't get three in?
Who's not in the lineup tonight? What happened to Gleyber?
Yeah, hurt last night.
Didn't know that.
Twinge in his back.
Well, can we just
That's going to be you on the golf
on
course
the team
side,
roster?
Dude.
Because, you know, he might not know that a guy's injured.
Yeah,
so
I didn't
I'll
know
give
a guy got injured last night.
Okay,
come
give me,
on.
So you got to give me three more names of current Yankees.
Current Yankees. Gerrit Cole.
Okay.
Does it have to be position players? Now we're getting on to that.
No, you're good.
The question was lineup.
Scary Gary Sanchez.
Okay.
DJ LeMahieu. Is he playing second tonight?
Yeah, or first. It might be third. It probably my guess is first or second tonight. Go.
Clint Frazier.
Yep. It's another one.
I'm at like seven.
Yeah, he's already surpassed the six. There you go. Q Sports Talk.
Aroldis Chapman.
Ooh, he's on fire now.
Yeah. I'm at like eight.
You were asked who was in the lineup. You gave two pitchers and a guy that's hurt.
I gave like 10 guys.
I don't know if he deserves credit.
I'll give it
that.
To him. I'll give it to him.
That's loose.
Are we sitting here on one more? Because we've been asked, Real Auto 44 wants a U.S. Open pick. You're notorious for your golf picks back with our friends on Orange Nation.
Yeah, so if you miss, I already have three out there. So I have Tony Finau to finish top 10. I have Patrick Cantlay to finish top 20. I have Abraham Anser to finish top 20. You can't put those in anymore because I gave them on Tuesday, and that's how betting works.
I was going to say, yeah, this was your Tuesday pick. So
yeah.
Do you have anything else?
I liked the way Brooks played yesterday. I don't think he's going to hang on. If you're going to pick somebody to win as of what they did yesterday, I like John Rahm. I think he's tied for fifth right now, and he looked solid yesterday. But I'm not going to bet any more than what I've already thrown out there because I like my three picks that I've already got going.
What's your grievance with West Coast golf and it being at Torrey Pines? I want to hear this.
It just kind of sucks because my favorite thing about any golf tournament is that Thursday, Friday, especially, but the whole weekend, you get to wake up and watch golf or track the scores or whatever you're going to do throughout the day. And then at nighttime, especially now, we have NBA playoffs, we have NHL playoffs, we have baseball games. So I like to be able to watch and enjoy golf all day long when a lot of the guys that I bet on are not teeing off until 4:45 tonight.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And on the flip side of that, since we've got Tommy in here, do you have any golf picks that you want to throw out or you just chose to... To stay out of that. You opted out.
My golf pick is for me to win. There's three of us going out golfing this weekend. Me, Mike, and one of our friends coming into town.
Quick math. How many holes are we playing?
I don't have that math on me yet. 36 plus 9. 45. See?
There
that was
go.
Quick. My golf pick is for me to win that. I actually have a hockey question for you. Serious hockey question. All right.
Okay.
We've got Islanders, Lightning. Should people in Syracuse be rooting for the New York team and the Islanders or the parent club of Tampa Bay? Do you like that question?
Tell me a great question
so I can say thank you.
That is a great question.
Thank you.
That is a great question.
I don't know. So I guess it depends. If you actually follow the Syracuse Crunch, if you're a person that follows American League hockey, then I think you root for Tampa Bay.
Ton of alum on
if
there.
If you're not, if you're just a regular old New Yorker that doesn't follow the Crunch at all, you couldn't name a single player on the Crunch or the Lightning, then I think you go with your New York team. That's what I think.
Nasty Morasty.
Ross Colton.
Is Kirk Cousins a dark horse MVP candidate? That's a question from Oliver Miner on Q Sports Talk on our Twitch chat.
No.
Anybody care to answer that? I don't think so either.
Real dark horse.
No chance. No chance in hell. It's a Vince McMahon type of thing. Q Sports Talk, our moderator jumped in and also said no to that question.
That's tough.
That's funny. All right, we're going to pause right there. We got to take a quick break on the Sports Illa Show on ESPN Radio. Michael Lear, the professor, the chef with us, and Tommy Gunn Hogan, brother. Will you say it for me?
Get that in.
Say it again.
Vegas money line tonight. I have to get that in real quick.
Very good. Very good. We'll take a quick break. We're going to come back. We've got sound check for you next. Hang on.
It's the Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt on ESPN Radio and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. Listen to this. Mic check. Okay? Good. Here's your sports sound check.
Do you know since 1991, the Lions have more Madden covers than playoff wins?
Yes, yes, I did, actually.
Did you know that?
Yes.
Megatron and Barry Sanders are the two representatives, and they don't win a lot of playoff games there, do they?
No,
not at all. Do you know NBC's asking for $6 million for a 30-second Super Bowl commercial this year? $6 million, that's the report.
You know, I know it's gone up in the last couple of years, but I didn't realize it was that much.
They're going to try to recoup some of the money perhaps lost during the pandemic. Oh, boy, that's a lot of money. Who's going to pay it? Who's not going to pay it?
I think when I was in college just a couple years ago, it was about $3.5 million they were asking back then.
Hey, things are changing. I mean, some of our favorite stands at the fair, even though that's going to be back in 100% capacity, are not going to be there this year. It's hard. You know what the biggest issue is for a lot of people? It's trying to find help.
Yes.
To maintain their restaurant or restaurants and then actually have workers that can still go to the fair for 18 days. That's a lot of overhead. That's a lot of payroll. That's a lot of bodies. That's a lot of man hours. Needless to say, that has nothing to do with sound check, which we're getting to right now on the Sportszilla Show on ESPN Radio. Great sound, by the way, from Michael Lear and Tommy Hogan. We appreciate them stopping in and having a little fun, giving us our Friday picks. And I guess we got to do away with the chef nickname. He gave it to himself. We got to stay with the professor because apparently there's no condiments or food in the house.
Apparently, geez.
Very interesting. You can all listen along as we play a little bit of audio and we react to it. There is now a college bowl game, and this news has been out for a day or two, named after Jimmy Kimmel. Did you hear what he said about it?
Few American traditions more exciting than a college football bowl game. It is the tradition, the pageantry, and most significantly, the sponsor names. There are so many memorable, colorful names. The R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl, the RoofClaim.com Boca Raton Bowl, the Tropical Smoothie Cafe Frisco Bowl, the Lending Tree Bowl, the Cheez-It Bowl. The list goes on and on. Ever since I was 52, which was last year, I've dreamed of having a college football bowl game named after me. And tonight, I'm thrilled to announce that dream is finally coming true. This is history in the making. Never before has a bowl game been named after a human being. And Papa John doesn't count. He's barely human. This is not a joke. This is a real bowl game named after me. So mark your calendars for Saturday, December 18th, the Jimmy Kimmel LA Bowl here on ABC. It'll be, it's like an early Christmas gift.
You know, back in the day, you used to look forward to the Orange Bowl and the Fiesta Bowl and the Rose Bowl and certain bowls. Now there's so many bowls that I check out on a lot of them.
Yeah, it used to be the Big Four, and now there's 100 of them.
There's like 35,000 of them, and I'm like, no thanks, no thanks, no thanks, no thanks. Certain ones I'll watch, certain ones no.
But it'll matter if Syracuse makes it.
That's true. Whatever bowl Syracuse is in, I'm watching it. But I'm watching the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl. I just have to. Don't you feel like you just have to?
Yeah, I feel like you do.
And how many people...
Would you want a bowl named after you?
I'd have to think that would be pretty cool, right?
Yeah, but what if it's like between like two crappy teams?
Yeah, I don't want to be associated with that. Hey,
it's the Rain Man Bowl between whoever and whoever. who just barely made it to a bowl game.
And everybody's out there going, oh, yeah, thanks for the crappy bowl game. Oh, yeah, then you're completely responsible for it. The perception is that it's you.
Ah, you did it.
Ha, you. Speaking of you, here you go. Soundcheck continues on ESPN Radio.
Should we guess what Yes is talking about? There's
no
goat
idea.
On the screen.
Right.
Or a ram because it's got those horns.
Right.
I know my rams and sheeps.
Sure. And you know there'll never be another you. The pitch is low in the count of 2-1.
If you don't watch, sometimes maybe you listen, whether it's on our brother station TK99 or ESPN Radio Utica Rome, where the Yankees games are broadcast. Those are some of the dynamite interactions between John Sterling and Susan Waldman. We learned what a shin guard was thanks to Susan Waldman.
That is correct.
A couple weeks ago. Sometimes you get that priceless information. And if you don't follow the John Sterling calls on Twitter,
you have to.
Do yourself a favor, Glue.
Do you feel like he was listening to her at all?
No.
Because he sounded like he was entertaining your child in the back seat. Oh, yeah, totally. Oh, okay, cool. Sounds fun.
He sounded like the vast majority of husbands talking to their wives. Yes, dear. Sure, dear.
Yeah.
Okay, what are you talking about, dear? What?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
And then the next day you have the conversation about everything that was said, and I have no idea. I told you already. Did you? Oh, I wasn't listening as usual. You know what I'm listening? Game 7. I'm all about this. I don't know if we're going to get a couple of more, but we do have one Game 7 set up and ready to go as you snicker at the Twitch chat at Q Sports Talk.
I'm sorry. Red Rob says he's like the rest of us and tune her out. Come on, man. That's not cool.
What? I wasn't listening. I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Game 7. Legler, Tim Legler. This is what he said. Here's the X factors that you need to know for tomorrow night. Going to be a good one with the Bucks and the Nets.
Obviously, a critical guy for the Bucks is Chris Middleton, and it might not sound like he should be an X factor, but he is, because he's been completely different at home than he is on the road. He was sensational in this one, 38. Well, can he go on the road in a Game 7? And he doesn't have to be 38 special, but can he be 26? You know, can he be 28? Can he do enough to augment what you know Giannis is going to bring from a production standpoint? You hope Jrue Holiday is as good as he was tonight. And if Chris Middleton could play that way, they got a great chance. Now, the other one is Jeff Green. This is a guy who made 7 threes the other night, and I know that's not going to happen every night, but he can't also then just go and completely disappear the way that he did in this game. Because right now, James Harden is pretty one-dimensional. It's going to be a bunch of step-back threes. You know you're going to get 30-plus out of Durant. You can go ahead and book that. So where is the other offense coming from for the Nets? Jeff Green can be an X factor. He's got a lock and load, get something going. Obviously, guys like Blake Griffin, Joe Harris, one of those guys needs to step up. But I think Jeff Green is the guy I'm looking at based on what he did the other night to take some of that pressure off Durant.
I think what the goal has to be if you're the Bucks is to get Giannis to the line and take forever on every foul shot and annoy James Harden. And by default, if he's off his game a little bit, maybe that affects the Nets enough for the Bucks to win. That's got to be the plan going forward. Would you agree, or is that a bunch of nonsense?
I think it's a bunch of nonsense.
Thank you.
I just feel like the Bucks just need to do what they need to do. Giannis needs to go out there and probably score 50 tonight to cement this series.
Which superstar has the better game?
I think KD
determines
ultimately
who wins Game 7 tomorrow night. I absolutely agree with you. And I have to think it's probably going to be the Nets when it's all said and done.
I just have to think the same thing. Will Harden be a decoy again, or will he actually play a big role in this game?
KD has to drop 50. I think there's a good chance that he probably will. And you're looking at the team that eventually moves on with the Brooklyn Nets, as much as I don't like to admit that. And I'm rooting against them.
Really? Why?
I'm not really rooting for the Bucks, but I want them to beat the Nets. I just do.
But why?
But then again, I don't really want the 76ers or the Hawks either. I hate the Eastern Conference. I'm rooting for the Suns.
Okay,
sounds good. That's all I have to say. Let's bring in Bobby Marks here on Soundcheck on ESPN Radio and the Sports Illa Show. Kemba, the trade, both sides, the perspective, here it is.
I think from Boston and Oklahoma City's perspective, we've got the Combine coming up this week. Knowing that you've got another pick if you're the Thunder here, that you can kind of, from a planning standpoint, I think this was the best deal that Boston can make. I mean, what is owed to Kemba, $73 million compared to what is owed to Horford. Overall, you could potentially save about $30, $32 million. I personally think that the best days of Kemba Walker are behind him. From a health standpoint, Horford kind of gives you a five. I know we haven't seen him in a in a long time, and there's a familiarity there already in Boston. So I get it. I get it from from both sides.
I think that Boston got better with addition by subtraction at this point, and you see what you got left in Al Horford.
Well, I think it depends on who they replace Kemba with at point guard, because right now we're going to have Marcus Smart as our point guard, and yeah, he can play the one, but he's better as a shooting guard than a point guard.
Got a couple quick pieces of audio that I want to share that are NFL related to close out our sound check segment. I want to start with Kimberly Martin, of course, an ESPN reporter, and what she thinks about the precedent that is being set right now by Aaron Rodgers in this ongoing soap opera.
I will say, when you talk about leverage, you know, I've heard people, our own analysts say, you know, maybe the Green Bay Packers, as a sign of goodwill, should tell him, you know what, don't worry about those fines for missing kids. Don't worry about all that. We got you. That $93,000, don't worry. But you talk about precedent. If a Davante Adams, like, if other guys are like, oh, we're just going to, like, forget about fines now. You know, like, that's the kind of thing when league execs talk about not – Packers can't – they can't miscalculate any more than they have, because whatever they do with Aaron, other guys on their own team and around the league will be watching.
Yeah, they're going to want the same treatment. You're going to demolish morale if you show favoritism to one player over another. And this problem with Aaron Rodgers can become a problem with the entire locker room, the entire organization, the entire team. And don't think other teams, other superstars in other situations won't then follow suit. There you go. This is going to be a problem if they don't handle it the right way. And guess what? It already is.
It's already a problem, and I don't think there's any stopping it. It's just going to keep happening around the league.
Yep. It seems like players are getting more and more empowered, not just in the NBA, which seems to be the most player-friendly league, but everywhere else this is starting to happen as well.
Especially in the NFL.
Here's your last thing. Does Nagy screw it up with Andy Dalton as the starter as they work in Justin Fields for the Chicago Bears? Kimberly Martin and our final piece of audio and sound check.
To me, the best case scenario is if Andy Dalton starts, Chicago wins some early games, because I feel like Chicago is this pressure cooker. So many people are under, Andy Dalton's under pressure to keep his job. GM Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy, head coach, under pressure to keep their jobs. And Justin Fields, he's got the pressure of proving, you know, why was I still even on the board? The problem is, if Nagy and Pace are in self-preservation mode in 2021, then that doesn't necessarily align with how do we best develop Justin Fields. Like, I'm long-term thinking. It can't just be about 2021. It's about making sure this kid is set up to succeed here.
Is this a matter of they don't think that there's enough to start the season with him? They want to refine a few things? But what is the reasoning? Because you're not going to win with Andy Dalton or anybody else, and you're probably not going to win to start with Justin Fields. So why are the Bears doing it this way?
That's a good question. I'm racking my brain around that as well. We know what Andy Dalton is. He's a mediocre at best quarterback.
Yeah.
Why don't you go with the potential of a great quarterback in Justin Fields?
Yeah, I would just start the season with him. Let him work out the kinks. Let him make mistakes.
If he sucks, okay, take him out.
Yep. You see what he can do for a few weeks. You have a backup right now. Let him work a little bit more behind the scenes until he's really ready. You're going to know. It's trial by fire.
But plans do change, because maybe in the middle of training camp and a few preseason games, they go, this guy knows the playbook now. Let's send him out.
Yeah, let's see if he's got a little something. Yeah, this can be reevaluated, and they can, of course, change their mind going forward. Oh, well, something to talk about here in the middle of June. ESPN Radio, Sports Illa Show. Quick pause. We come back. Talk to Jack Perrin on the phones next from Last Word on Sports.
It's the Sportszilla Show on ESPN Radio and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk.
Turn it on and rip the knob off.
You're listening to the radio.
If you switch the radio to some modern music show, that's a technical foul.
Here's Rain and Matt.
Appreciate everybody with us fired up in the Twitch chat at QSportsTalk. Join us in there. Any NBA questions or comments on really anything that we got going on? We'll get back in there in just a second. Accelerate Sports Complex phone line is wide open now with our good friend Jack Perrin from Chicago. Out of a Last Word on Sports, a basketball writer, head basketball writer. As we head into, well, what's officially going to be the start of summer, right? I'm psyched for that. And Father's Day this weekend. We go into it with a heavy heart in Central New York because, listen, we know the name Billy Fusillo. We learned late last night and early today that he had passed away. So our condolences out to his family. His son, specifically, they have dealerships, not just in Central New York, but in other places in the country. Unfortunately, Jack Perrin is coming at us with a little bit of a heavy heart heading into Father's Day weekend, too. Tell us about your friend Nick real quick.
Yeah, so he's in his 40s, great friend. I mean, everyone loved him. I mean, he's just loved by all. And he's a colleague and a friend, and he was working yesterday, and just he had a heart attack or an aneurysm during a meeting at work. And it really just hits home that you got to remember to hug your loved ones
exactly.
And everything, because you just never know. And his wife had gone into work for the first time since COVID.
Wow.
And he was working from home. It's horrible. Really is. And just a great guy.
Well, to your point, you know what? Watch game 7 tomorrow night with your dad, if you get a chance, or with your son, if you get a chance, or, you know, the U.S. Open. It's a Father's Day weekend tradition, and see who wins that. Was he a Bears fan?
Yep. He was a Bears fan.
So you know what you do, Jack. You have a conversation. It's something that we were just talking about. Do you go with Andy Dalton or do you go with Justin Fields to start? What would he want? You know what I mean? Have those types of conversations as you head into a Father's Day weekend. Because don't guys like a few things? We like naps. We like peace and quiet. And we love our sports. Yep. Jack, thanks for sharing a word on your friend Nick. Send our condolences to his family on our behalf. Let's get started and talk a little bit about basketball. Let's start with that Mavs situation. This has been intriguing to us, and I know it's not a team that's in the playoffs right now, but you fire 23-year GM Donnie Nelson, right? Then Rick Carlisle, after 13 years, walks out. It's not going well with the unicorn Porzingis, and then you've got Doncic out there who is top five, top 10 player in the league at the very least, and only 22 years old. So it's a soap opera. And you know what? It all starts at the top with, listen, he is the George Steinbrenner of the NBA. He makes himself the story more than the games or the league. But I'm talking about Mark Cuban.
The Jerry Jones of the NBA.
Yeah. So explain this situation or your perspective on what's happening in Dallas.
You know, the best I can tell from this is I think this is, you see it down with the Pelicans as well. I think that these moves are being made to keep their star happy. I think they've got, you know, a potential MVP every year with Luka Doncic. And I think he's unhappy with things are going. I mean, some people are predicting a complete rebuild, which that could put Doncic in possible position to be traded to someone like the Knicks, for instance. But I don't know about that. I mean, they certainly can't go into rebuild with him. He's not going to be happy with that, and he'll just sign elsewhere when he can. I think they're trying to accommodate him. That's my take on it, is that they're trying to get a coach in place that he likes, change the GM, that he doesn't like the direction it's going, you know, going forward, and I think that's the idea behind it.
Talking about the 76ers and the Atlanta Hawks, is it a 76ers choke job? Or is this Hawks team special?
Well, I think it's both, actually. I think this Atlanta team is special. I really like their young players. I don't know about Doc Rivers as a coach. I've seen enough of him now, and I do put a lot on Doc Rivers here. Obviously, Embiid is hurt, too. That doesn't help. But Embiid's just not getting enough help from, you know, the other players. And, you know, Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, they really need to step it up and help him if they're going to do it. I mean, I think it's going to be done tonight. That's my gut feeling.
So no game 7 in that one. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say is I think this is about the – at least the third series I remember where Doc Rivers has let his team – lose while being up. You know, this should have been, I mean, it looked like early in the series that the 76ers were going to be too much for an extremely young, up-and-coming, talented team like the Hawks. I do think it's kind of good for the NBA to see the Hawks do well, but I really think this was the 76ers series to take, and they just have taken their foot off the pedal, and they've let themselves probably be eliminated tonight.
Do you think a combination of Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris are going to get traded, or maybe just one, or maybe neither?
Well, I can't imagine the value for Ben Simmons is too high right now. He's too much of a specialist to command the sort of supermax concept with him. I think he's really shown his weakness in today's NBA. I don't know what you'd get for him. I mean, you're almost better off hanging on to him at this point. But I do think they need some shooters here. They need some better shooters to put around a guy like Embiid. He's still dominant, but he is hurt too. You got to remember.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Jack Perrin is with us with Last Word on Sports here at Sports Illa Show on ESPN Radio. Let's look at Utah and the Clippers really quick. Kawhi's out, thinking it's an ACL. PG stepped up for one game. Does that continue? Do they beat Utah? And obviously, they have some injury issues as well. Without those, I think it's Utah. But with those, with Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley still being a little bit questionable, I don't know how this plays out.
Yeah, I think that this is a difficult series. Maybe the Clippers get by with a great game from Paul George. But I think Mitchell and Conley, I think, are both questionable for today. And if they come back and they can play anywhere near their level, I think they take this game and they take the next. I just really think they'll take it in seven games. I just don't see it. Don't see enough on the Clippers. And I think that was such a devastating injury. I mean, I guess we don't fully know what it is, but it doesn't sound like he's going to be back for the series for sure. And he probably won't be back for the playoffs. So if it is an ACL tear. So I kind of expect Utah Jazz to win in seven, unless Mitchell and Conley just are not effective, which gives the Clippers a chance to pull it out.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You brought up game seven. We have one guarantee tomorrow night, the Nets and the Bucks. Does KD have to drop 50 again, Jack? How does this work? Or is somebody else going to help him out? Is Harden going to be able to do anything? Does Giannis kind of ascend and get past the Nets? I mean, they're ripe right now because obviously Kyrie not being in the situation or in this equation affects that as well.
Well, it really shows the importance of injuries, especially in the playoffs. These three, KD, Kyrie, and Harden only played a few games together, and they were together right at the beginning of the playoffs, and they looked unstoppable. I really didn't think anything was going to stop the Nets but for injuries to their big three, so to speak. I don't count out KD. I mean, he really is a phenomenal player. He seems to get under everyone's skin. He can step it up. I mean, he can drive to the basket. He can step back. He can do the fade shots. I mean, he's got it all, and I certainly don't count him out, but I think the Bucks are probably going to take it, I think.
And in the West, do you think the Suns could win against either the Jazz or the Clippers with Chris Paul missing a game or two because of COVID protocol?
Well, you never know. I mean, the Suns, hopefully he doesn't miss too much. I mean, thankfully they did. They had clinched by the time he tested positive for COVID. And as I understand it, he has been vaccinated. So I haven't heard exactly, when that puts him back playing. But yes, assuming he wins, he misses the first game or maybe even the second game, that puts a lot of pressure on the rest of the Suns. I mean, DeAndre Ayton has been, I think he is, to me, one of the most frustrating players because I think he is an MVP player with no fundamentals, which is what takes him off the MVP list. He has been dominant in the last series. He has been playing out of his mind. But then he'll also put the ball down, rather than go right back up, and he gets the ball stripped from him. He'll do some sort of bonehead play with every couple great plays. He then does a bonehead play. And he's a frustrating player to watch, but he has shown his talent, and he's a talent for sure. If he could just tighten up some of his fundamentals. And I think, he could be enough to, get by while Chris Paul's out. I remember Chris, they still played pretty well with Chris Paul hurt through most of the last series.
Or at least limited, right? Yeah. It's one of those things where is Ayton coachable? You find out. And if he is and he gets some good coaching, boy, watch out. Because I agree with you. We kind of were going back and forth on Twitter with that the other day. This is Jack Perrin from Last Word on Sports. We got to take a quick break right here. The last thing we'll say today is next on the Sportszilla Show on ESPN Radio. Thanks, Jack.
The Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt.
Can everyone hear me okay?
Hello? I can hear you.
Okay, well, so we've made some amazing adjustments, and okay.
Here's the last thing we'll say today on ESPN Radio,
ESPN,
and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk.
Shohei Ohtani is confirmed he's going to be in the home run derby for Major League Baseball.
Must watch.
Must watch. Must see TV. Who else joins this? I'm not quite sure. There's a lot of names. Juan Soto's one that jumped out at me. Vlad Guerrero, you want to see him.
I want to see Tatis Jr.
Yeah, I don't think you'll see Aaron Judge again. You have before, obviously, when it was in Florida a couple years ago. I doubt that. You're not going to see Giancarlo Stanton, but there's going to be some of other amazing names. I got to see Ohtani. Is he pitching it? I mean, that's the question I've been posed. Does he pitch the first inning, and then is he also participating in the home run derby? Does he play in the field in it? During the actual All-Star game?
Yes, hopefully.
Right? Yeah, I want to see him, man. It's going to be good stuff. Fun times in the Twitch chat at Q Sports Talk. If you don't have a subscription, grab yourself one. Love to have you join us in there from time to time. Conversations about what do the Bears do? Is letting Fields sit at first a good idea? Or do you just take Justin Fields and start him week one? Or do you really want to go with Andy Dalton? Give him a chance to really ease into this, I think, for the most amount of success, right?
Well, we got to see how he does with training camp and preseason.
Yeah.
Because if he's picking things up way ahead of schedule, why don't you put him out there?
Because I also shared the opinion. I'm hemming and hawing back and forth. You just throw him to the fire, throw him out there, let him make his mistakes. I guess we're going to find out. We'll talk about it more. Done for the day. Sportszilla show back 2:00 on Monday. But we return, Matt and I, for Yankees on Deck tonight at 6:00 right here on ESPN Radio.